We're joined by somebody who has spent 19 years in the NBA, a three-time Sixth Man of the Year Award winner, 2018 NBA Teammate of the Year Award winner, the only player in NBA history with 50-point games for four different teams. He is a friend of the program. He is Jamal Crawford. Jamal, before we talk about basketball and life, I want to welcome you back, and I want to ask you, how are you and your family doing right now, Jamal?
We're doing well. To make do, obviously, with so much going on, it's crazy times, but we're bunkered down and getting the online school going during the day and getting activities and stuff and then trying to help, our community here. So it's been interesting. It's been something that's crazy, but we're trying to do our part for, you know, ourselves and for people in our community and abroad.
I think that's great. Jamal Crawford joining us. I'll talk basketball in 1 minute, but in terms of doing your part for the community, you're doing just that. You have partnered with World Vision USA to provide hundreds of family emergency kits. You've worked with Club Insider to provide child care assistance for 3 weeks, and you've collaborated with Food Lifeline to provide 150,000 meals for kids and seniors. So what's it meant to you to be able to take action like this and to give back?
It's meant everything, you know, to be able to be in a position to do that. I think that's our responsibility, you know, and it's the community I care about and care about people in general. You may not get a chance to actually meet that person in person, but if you know you're helping people out there who really need it, I think that's fulfilling as well. And there's so many kids, and everybody's affected by it. They really are. And for us, you know, I think we all have to do our part and just help and knowing that we're buying time and, you know, we may have to help again, but that's what our duty is, you know, so we'll continue to do that as long as thing continues.
We're talking to Jamal Crawford. One more thought about that, because you've always made the point that you love basketball, but basketball does not define you. So how important is that statement to you right now?
Well, this is what it is. It really is. Like, being a world-class athlete is one thing, and that's one dream. Being able to help people is much more significant, and it pulls at your heartstrings. It means so much more to you. You know, and I think that's the real gift of having this platform, and trying to take full advantage by using it in the right way.
Talking to Jamal Crawford. Let's talk some basketball. It's been nearly a year since you dropped 51 for Phoenix in the season finale against Dallas. You were 18 for 30 in that game, which is incredibly efficient. When you think back on that game, what sticks out to you the most?
It was Dirk's last home game, and the energy in the city, it's right from shoot-around, you could feel it. Right from the morning, the whole city was alive. Everybody was wearing Dirk jerseys, and being a part of that was like a tremendous honor, and then playing well in that game, I'll never forget that at all. And it's amazing to know that we were there for a historic moment. And then being able to have a small piece in that and make some history of my own was pretty cool as well.
We're talking to Jamal Crawford. In terms of history, you and I have talked basketball history so many times over the years. So what's it mean to you to know that that game, you made history, you broke MJ's record as the oldest player in league history with a 50-point game, and you became the first player to have 50-point games with four teams. What do those distinctions mean to you?
It was just unbelievable. Michael Jordan is my favorite player ever and the best player ever to me. So to be mentioned in any form with him is like, it's just unreal. And then the last thing was having the most points ever off the bench in history. I didn't even think it was possible to score that many off the bench. I didn't think it was enough time for anybody to do it. So, you know, to break those kind of records was just unbelievable. And the only thing that could have topped it off was a win. But obviously, like I said, it was Dirk's night. And him, you know, you don't feel like you lost because you were part of his history as well.
Jamal, what you think about that matters to me a lot. I mean, you've played 19 years in the NBA. You've had an amazing career, and you're a historian of the game, and you study the game and have for so long. When you say Mike's the best ever, what separates him from the others in your mind?
Just everything, longevity. The thing about Mike that's different for me growing up was I had a lot of other favorite players, and there's a lot of great players now. But Mike was the one person that kind of allowed you to dream. You know what I mean? And he was the guy for me and so many people. I think he's so good that, you know, when people are great in other sports, they say this person is the Michael Jordan of this. You know, and he's never lost in the finals. He's the bigger the moment, the better he was. He's never seen a game seven, and we could argue that he's probably the most clutch player ever. So we may not have ever seen his true best performance because he never had to go to game seven. You know what I mean? So it's just so many different things of doing what he did. He always rose to the occasion. He never let you down.
Jamal Crawford, my guest, you know, one thing for you to talk about Mike or LeBron or Kobe, but it's so much deeper than that, because one of my favorite conversations in my job is talking to you about basketball and basketball history, in the sense that you tweeted the other day, for example, Steve Smith, Jalen Rose, Danny Manning, Joe Johnson, Ed O'Bannon, Harold Miner highlights today. Like, you're always learning, you're always studying, you're always looking to improve. What did you take away from watching those guys?
Well, with those guys, they all did something different. You know, watching Jalen, watching Steve Smith, watching how they could play multiple positions back when, you know, that wasn't really known. It was more known you were a point guard, you were a shooting guard, you were this position. And so for me, having this platform, I always want to big up those other guys that NBA fans may not think about initially. You know, and obviously you think of the Jordans, the Kobes, LeBron, but there were other great players as well. So every day while this is going on, I'm always going to tweet out four or five different guys. Some you may know, some you may not have heard in a while, just so people go back and look like, oh, that guy was really good. You know, there's a lot of great players who helped build this whole thing.
We're talking to Jamal Crawford. I love that. Now, when you were starting to become a legend, not just in Seattle, but in the entire state, I want to make this very clear. You were doing so before there was social media. This is when the Sonics were still there, and you're getting right up there with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp in terms of fame in that state. What was that time like for you?
It was just unbelievable to be a 17-year-old kid and be one of the most popular athletes in the whole state at any level. You know, those guys, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, they really took a liking to me and start coming to my games. You know, it was like a must-see event. And I'm not saying that to brag, but if you ask anybody in that time period, that's kind of what it was. I think behind Sean and Gary and maybe Detlef, I was probably the next most popular player in the state as far as basketball goes. And I was just a high school kid. You know, so for me, before social media, it was just like a dream come true. And it just felt like I was performing every single game, which is really cool.
I mean, it's amazing. I can remember also before social media, when kids, like in Southern California, in Los Angeles, and in around the areas, when those kids became that big, it was so awesome. It was like an event when they ran. So, like, what was it like when Payton and Kemp and Doug Christie were giving you advice when you were in high school?
Well, it made it more believable to me because at that age, you feel like, okay, I'm having some success against kids, you know, and against people on the playgrounds, but when the pros, top-level pros, all-world pros said, hey, you can do this, you can make it, then that changed my life because at that point, I didn't want anything from them but to tell me how to get there, how to sustain this, what do I need to do? And when those guys at that level saying you can do it, it gives you a whole another fuel, and it changed my whole life.
We're talking to Jamal Crawford. Also, I think as people know, you were going to play at Fresno State, but it's not just about going to play at Fresno State. Legend has it Jerry Tarkanian came up from Fresno to recruit you. That says a ton, right, Jamal? Because Tark did not go on the road to recruit very much. What was it like being recruited by Tark?
It was unbelievable. I've seen him since the UNLV days, obviously, and the Running Rebels, and him. I was just Tark. He was just unbelievable. He's such a legend, such a class act. And he told me that, actually. He said, I've only been on two visits where I had to leave, and you're one of my other two. So that tells you what I think about you. And actually, Tim Gergridge had told him about me in the initial part of everything just by seeing me and hearing about me in Seattle. So shout out to Tim Gergridge. So.
Gerg, a legend in his own right. We're talking to Jamal Crawford. You know, you mentioned that you just wanted to learn. Like, you told Chris Haynes recently that the pros at those pro-ams that you attended, you know, they were telling you, you can do it, you can make it. And your response was, hey, listen, I don't want your phone number. I just want to know what gym you're going to be at. Teach me how to fish. What did you mean by that, and where did that attitude come from?
Well, I just felt like, you know, getting your phone number or giving me a pair of shoes, that wasn't going to do it for me. I had a long-term vision, and I just wanted to know day by day what I needed to do. So if they told me Doug Christie was going to work out with me at 7 o'clock, I would be there at 6 o'clock waiting for him, whether I had to catch the bus or however I had to get there. And he knew I was serious, so he was like, here, here's somebody I can really mentor. And he gets it. You know, he sees beyond what's in front of him right now. And I think they just really took a liking to me, and I really want to learn how to do this and be in this position. And it changed my life. And in return, I'm doing it for the next generation here up there as well.
You know, it sounds like, Jamal, I had a conversation with Udonis Haslam on the show yesterday, and he said almost verbatim the exact same thing that you just said. And he's played an extremely high level, at a high level for so long. We talked about the role that work ethic plays in that. How much of what you've done on the floor is about your innate ability, and then how much of that is about the work ethic and taking care of your body and mind?
Oh, that's everything. It really is. And just love, pure love. When you truly love something, nobody has to tell you, hey, let's go do this. Or, you know, you find yourself doing it, and you always want to do it. You become obsessive about it. And when you're obsessive about it, you want to be the best you can be at it. And that's where the work ethic and the love and the passion comes from. And for me, I've always used that, and I've always leaned on that. I have a T-shirt that says Ball's Life, and my wife said that's an understatement for you. You know, like you said, to this day, 40 years old, been in the NBA almost 20 years, and still watching guys every single day trying to learn, trying to get better and paying it forward.
Jamal Crawford joining us and paying it forward. You told Chris Haynes also that you didn't really learn how to be a pro until you were around guys like Charles Oakley, Kendall Gill, and Greg Anthony. What did you learn from them about being a pro, and what's the wisdom that you picked up from them?
One of the things I learned was just how to dress, you know, how to carry yourself, how to present yourself. Being on time is not being on time. You have to be here, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours early. You have to be the last one to leave. All those different things. B.J. Armstrong, Pete Myers, guys who worked for the Bulls at that time, were veterans for me as well, even though I didn't play for them. Those were guys who had been in the league, had success in the league, and told me about how it is to be a pro, how you carry yourself, and how everybody, you have to live like everybody's watching you all the time when there's nobody around. Because there's a kid somewhere watching you like, hey, you know, Jamal has his jersey untucked or his shoes aren't tied. And you just have to carry yourself like a pro. So those guys really taught me a lot, taught me how to eat. I was eating McDonald's all the time then, and just different things of that nature.
Awesome. When I look at those three guys, Jamal, I mean, they're all different. They're all really different, but the one common thread, too, man, they're tough. There is a toughness about those three, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's what I said when I was growing up watching the NBA. It was the men's league. You know, you had Michael Jordan doing all these incredible things at 35. You know, you had Gary Payton, these guys playing till almost 40 years old because it was a men's league, and they kind of went through the rigors of college and being coached and kind of come in as men, you know, and they understood that. You know, I think it helped me in the long run as well.
And we know Charles Oakley, and when it comes to toughness, nobody wants to mess with Oak. We know this. I don't even like talking about nobody wanting to mess with Oak because I don't want to get back to Oak that I was messing with Oak when he's the last guy I'd ever mess with, and I love him. But I've told the story, Jamal. When I went to UC Santa Barbara, we were in the same conference, the Big West, as UNLV, so they'd roll in to play the Gauchos where I went to school. Greg Anthony had that shattered jaw. It was wired shut for like an entire month. I think he ate through a straw for a month, and he came to play us. He hit the deck so hard early in one game. I mean, he bounced his face off the deck. I'm like, this kid's dead. He popped right up. I'd never seen anything like it. He was so tough, Anthony. I mean, so tough.
So tough. And that speaks that era. Look at those Knicks teams. Those guys played together back then. You know, and they were just tough, tough-minded. And it made you tougher. And not just always physically, but mentally as well.
All right, so final thought. You've been training all season, making sure you're ready for when a team calls you. How are you going about getting your work in right now?
Well, now, you know, we can't play anymore. So I'm doing a lot of boxing stuff. I have boxing bag actually at my house, so I'm doing that. I'm doing swimming. We have a pool, so I'm able to utilize that. Running some hills with the weight vest on, doing some yoga, and it's a lot of core. You know, I'm still outside shooting. We have a hoop in the driveway, so I'm outside shooting right now. But up until that point when we were able to actually work out, I was setting up games, private games, and playing it like 125, you know, and doing it like a real full game, so I'm in shape and ready to go when the time comes.
It's a lifestyle. For you, Jamal, I know this. 19 years in the NBA, three-time Sixth Man of the Year Award winner, 2018 NBA Teammate of the Year Award winner, the only player in NBA history with 50-point games for four different teams. Jamal, great to get caught up with you. I appreciate it very much, and I've always appreciated you.
You as well, Jim. Thank you so much for having me.
So good to talk to you, Jamal. Thank you. Thank you for doing it.